Hi, my name's Tori and I wish I knew more about blood products.
Hi, my name's Letitia. I wish I knew more about taking care of myself when starting shift work.
Hi, my name is Lydia. I wish I would know more about how to work as in a team and solve conflict.
Hello, welcome to Five Things, the nursing podcast from the Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital. My name is Liz Crowe.
I'm Jesse Spur, and this is a podcast by, for, and with the amazing nurses and health professionals in our corner of the world. We hope to connect with a global community as we move from surviving to thriving. Welcome to Five Things.
Hello, my name is Liz Crowe.
And I'm Jesse Spur.
Welcome to another episode of Five Things Nursing, where today we are welcoming Tu Ritchie, who is the clinical nurse at the Professor Stuart Pegg Adult Burns Unit here at the Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital. And she's come to tell us all about adult burns.
Hi, Liz. Hi, Jesse.
Welcome.
Hey, I'm once again really excited by this and feels a little remiss that we're only getting to burns now in our schedule. Like, we're about 75 episodes deep in recording and we're in the hospital that is the major adult burn centre for Queensland and surrounding areas. So delayed, but better late than never.
Well, To be honest, these guys have been hard to get.
Yeah. I was going to say, it shows we're busy.
Yeah, we've been trying to get to them for ages and we know that you're busy clinically today. So thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me here.
Awesome. So we'd love to get to know a little bit about you. Like, how'd you get into nursing and how'd you find yourself in this role now in burns?
So getting in nursing, I thought I would do the shortest course that will get me a job, stable job, right? So I started my nursing course the first 2 years, didn't like nursing at all. Then I landed my first placement third year in the burns unit. And for the first time, I really fell in love with nursing, really. Just the ward was amazing. So then the last prac, I came back just to reassure that that's the place I want to be. And I got that placement. And I have stayed ever since, and it's about 21 years now I'm hitting. So, yeah, that's my home.
It's amazing. What was it? Do you remember in that second year placement, what it was about there that made it go, oh, this is my place, my people?
Yeah, you know what? I think it starts from the nursing staff. It was decision-making as partnering with the medical team, the other health team members. And it's just like holistic nursing care and a really collegial effort. And the patients were involved. It's just something that I thought, this is nursing. That's what it is, not just doing tasks.
Mm. Yeah. How beautiful that you found your area so early in your career, and how lucky are we that you have stayed with that profession, bringing that expertise over the last 21 years.
Yeah, time flies.
It really does. All right, so let's get straight into your podcast. So your number one is first aid and initial post-burn management. What can you tell us?
Okay, so first aid, really, this is for anyone, whether your patient's burned by the bedside or someone walks into your where you're working. There's two things with first aid. You know, the first thing is, first remove the source of the heat, right? So if it's flame burns and you're there helping this, it's removing, you know, igniting the flame, and then stop, drop and roll, obviously, if the person's outside. And as a bystander, I guess helping just to make sure that you don't burn your hands. Also, we get a lot of people that helps and then they end up getting burns on their hands. I mean, removing the source is also like skull burns with hot water. If you have the elderly, say, sitting at the desk and having something, you know, hot water spilt on them, it's getting rid of that source. It's like a reservoir of really, you know, a heat source. So you need to get rid of that clothing straight away. So removing the source. And then secondly, with first aid, is you want to cool the burn. So cooling is, we recommend 20 minutes under cool running water. And what that does is a cool water gives it an analgesic effect because burns hurt, right? But importantly, that cool running water helps with I guess, reducing the overall tissue death. You've got a zone where the heat's applied to that area. That area's already burned. But then there's a zone surrounding it that's actually got some tissue damage from the heat, which is spreading. So with your cooling water, it actually stops that second zone being so deep, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of myths, I guess, around burns. Yeah. And you'll hear people say, put butter on it or put ice on it or put, you know, how dangerous are those sorts of things to do?
I guess ice, people put it on because I guess it's the analgesic effect, right? Ice cools, which helps with the pain. There has been a study that has shown that ice actually could burn a bit deeper. And it really doesn't help with stopping the burning process. It's recommended that you don't do that. I mean, if you're burned at home and you're trying to cool it, it's getting on whatever you can. Like I said, running water is the best, but any other things, I guess if you're going to use it, let us know when you get to the unit because some of those substances could be sitting on your skin. Could it be, you know, making it dry, making it go deeper? Could it be causing a bit of infection? We don't know. It's, you know, how clean that substance is that you got out of a tube or a jar and whether it should be sitting on your skin. But I get that when people get burnt, they just use
panic. But really the big take-home message is – just put it under running cool water.
Yeah, that's right.
So your number two is wound management of a burn. How do we look after it once there's been a burn?
You know, we just spoke about first aid. Now you're looking at how do I manage this wound after the first aid? The main thing to look for, being aware of, is edema, so the swelling of your limb. Say if you've got burns on your face, that your skin, I mean your face is going to swell up. There's potentially an airway swelling as well. So if you're nursing these patients, make sure you nurse with their head up. I think with limbs also you can get the swelling, so elevate the limbs. And when you go to dress your wounds, there's a few things you want to do when you're picking the dressing. So you want moisture onto it. You want a primary dressing that's hopefully antimicrobial if you can. And then an absorbent dressing because wounds tend to leak a lot of exudate, so you want something absorbent. But you want to pick something that's not going to be adherent to that wound, right? And then some bandages for compression.
With regards to moisture, again, what do you put on a burn that is going to reduce harm but also not cause infection, what do you put on it?
Okay, so if it's a new burn and that patient is a big burn and you want to get them to us quickly within the first 8 hours so we can assess and manage them, all you got to do is put Glad Wrap on. So Glad Wrap helps the air from getting to the nerve endings that are exposed. So it helps with relieving the pain. It keeps the wound clean for transport. But putting cling film on, just don't wrap around and around and around because that's like a tourniquet effect, right? If you've got a limb that's swelling, it could stop your blood flow. So just put it on and then lightly wrap in a towel or something. Now, if they can't get to us for a long time, more than 8 hours, so you've got your source like Flamazine. If you're in a hospital, you've got the Flamazine cream, which you put on a really thick layer like you're icing a cake, so at least 2 millimeters. You want that thick cream on, or any bacterial antimicrobial dressing sheets like your Bactigra, your Xeroform, and then you can put a lot of paraffin, which is like a Vaseline, on those sheets and apply it to the wound bed, and that covers it. And then just an absorbent pad. That's if you've got that. And most hospital will have some of that, and a lot will have Flamazine, the cream. So just use that because it's antimicrobial.
Now, most of us hopefully have never suffered from a burn, but I know just even catching yourself on the side of the oven or burning your finger on the iron, burns really hurt, don't they?
Yep.
So your number three is how to manage pain.
Yeah, so that links in with wound management. You have to manage the pain as well. So, you know, you can talk. So one, like I said already, cover the wound as fast as you can because you want to cover those nerve endings. But managing pain with burns injury, you've got, you know, your burning pain and that's your nerve pain. And then you've got your throbbing pain as your limb swells up. So it's a we are very grateful. We work with our persistent pain team who helps us with medication. But the point is you can have medication, but pain can also, as a nurse, you can help that by alleviating anxiety because there's a lot of anxiety that comes with the unknown. Is this wound going to be fixed? Is this pain going to increase? Can you manage it? Is this forever? Will it ever go away? I think explaining to the patient on that side, this is the journey. This is expected. This is what we're going to do to help alleviate that pain. And it may seem like it's taking a long time, but incrementally we will get there where we will reduce your pain. But just also letting them know that we can never get rid of the pain, right? But we can help to make it manageable. So alleviating that anxiety by talking it through and really talking it through the medication that we're giving and what its effect, how does it help with each type of pain and how would it all work together. I find that most of the time that really helps.
It's really interesting because I think there's that initial pain management at the proximal point of time that the burns occurred. And then you've got the different layer that you're dealing with a lot is anticipated dressing changes. Yes. And there's that kind of increasing psychological component of pain of time spent thinking about the next dressing change.
Oh, very well put. Exactly.
There's some really I'm genuinely curious because I haven't worked in the burns unit or near the burns unit
in
Royal. Great recruitment. Do you guys use VR therapy or other distraction therapies in your unit?
Oh, you know what? Our occupational therapist, our lead occupational therapist has started a study, has written a study about the VR therapy. And because of that study being conducted in the ward, we have some patients use those devices. We are only now trying to start thinking about, sometimes, you know, you have these new devices, but you forget in your everyday nursing that it's available, but it's now just making it it's accessible. We just have to make sure staff are aware and then how do we go about starting to use these. And a lot of the young people, I think we have trialled them on. Yeah.
So that's virtual reality. That's what you're talking about. So what sort of, what would you, you know, if someone's put goggles on me, I'm in pain.
Yeah.
Are you just distracting with visually looking at something, or is it better to get people to be doing tasks like in their mind? Like what's best for pain?
So I think you have to pick the right person that is suitable to use that device and they're not going to feel claustrophobic or anything. For the dressing side, it's more like a calming, I think one, I could, don't quote me on this, I think one of the scenario that plays through is going through a garden or something like that, just a very calming video, I guess, that they watch. I think the more task, therefore when the physiotherapist and the occupational therapist are working with the patients to get some movements going, I know that that's what they use that for. Yeah.
It's reasonably well studied and there's a pretty decent evidence base that derived out of burns dressing management in military hospitals from the US. I did a deep dive on this because I actually gave a talk at a conference about VR use, and burns is probably the burns dressings is probably the strongest area for analgesic use. The answer from, I guess, a neurological point of view is there's a component of it is distraction, but it often gets just reduced to that in people's thinking. The stimulation of the motor cortex of the brain, even if the patient's not moving, but the sensation of moving through a space with immersive VR can cause a competitive inhibition of the sensory area of the brain, the sensory processing. So it down-regulates the sensory input from the pain. And they did a cheeky thing in the one of the studies in the indexes that they looked at. So they looked at reduction in required opioid analgesia in the VR group. But they also looked at measuring or getting an index of the patient reporting time spent thinking about pain between dressings.
Okay.
And they also did a cheeky one, which was fun at dressing time. And obviously the non-VR group had no fun at dressing time, but there was about a 20% that actually went to reporting fun at dressing time because of the engagement. And that was a really simple – that's like – decade old technology, so we've got some pretty amazing advances on that. So it was just a curiosity and thinking about, and I guess coming back to the more simple premise of the question was the difference between physical pain stimuli and the anticipatory pain and the psychological distress of pain in those repeated pain-inducing procedures, like a burns dressing, even done expertly.
Yeah.
It's painful, isn't it?
Because it's a large area of the body, right? And I think with the anxiety, it heightens the pain.
Of course.
But yeah, like certainly the nursing side, we haven't started using the VR, but I know that our occupational therapists and surgeons and that they're doing a study on that side.
So your number four is burns nursing is so much more than wound care. You've already alluded to just how holistic this nursing care is within burns. Can you tell us about that and tell us about some of the multidisciplinary teamwork that you do in burns?
Yeah, so wound is a major component because we have to heal that wound. But rehabilitation really starts from day one because contradicting to some beliefs, you know, like some people come in and they think if it's painful, it means that I am not doing the right thing. I shouldn't be moving my limb. I shouldn't be moving at all because it's painful and that's what my body's telling me. But in fact, we have to mobilize the joint early. We have to stretch your skin or stretch the healing skin as it's healing because it contracts as it heals. So if you get that stretch early, later on we know that we actually increasing the movement and decreasing that pain that comes with movement. So it's knowing that what you're doing is best for the patient. So, you know, movement starts at day one and we work with our physiotherapists to do that. And again, if they have to go to surgery, again, rest for 3 days, but we move quite early. And on that side, then, you know, with the pain side, people don't want to move. So again, you have to explain, well, this is why we have to move. And sometimes you feel like you're a bit harsh and just trying to get someone to sit out of bed, but their legs are sore. That's hard. The hard bit of nursing is doing what's hard, but you know it's going to be a great outcome for your patient. Opening the chest, moving the limbs, sitting up, getting their gut going. You get better nutrition. It's been shown when you're sitting up out of bed and feeding yourself, right? If you're sitting in bed, there's that feeling, I'm sick, I can't eat as much. So that's the other component of nursing, nutrition, movement, pain management, the psychosocial side, because a lot of the big accidents, people have flashbacks, we call it. So, you know, they can be sitting there and they can suddenly remember the incident. And it's horrifying, it's terrifying. So you have to really pick that up, talk to the patient about it and refer to our psychologist early. But sometimes early is not always the way because the patient's not ready. You have to talk to them and always intervene at the right time that makes an impact towards their overall well-being. You know, occupational therapies, you know, getting people the right devices to grip or to feed themselves. We do that quite early. The other thing is discharge. Early discharge planning is a big role for nursing in burns as well. Someone first comes in, we ask you your whole history because we want to know from day one that where you're planning to go. If you're a man who likes to be active but you live by yourself but you don't want to say that you're elderly but, you know, you need that extra support, it's then planning you're going to be going to somewhere that's not near a major hospital, you're going to be isolated. Well, we need to look at our skin management, skin graft and how in our interventions along the way, how do we get this person safely home? So you've got to plan that from the beginning.
It strikes me like I can totally see why you fell in love with this and as a fit for you, because it really strikes me as like all excellent nursing should be, you're essentially a case manager for your patient as well, and having that coordination component, working really closely with other high stakes members of the team that are caring for that. But it's just a reflection on how beautifully you articulated the factors that actually are really comprise the role of the nurse.
Yes. And obviously the listeners will never see your face, but you're so animated, isn't she? When you're talking about it, like your passion for this area is so obvious. I just wanted to ask, having worked in children's burns, often the staff were quite involved in burns prevention, because in children's we see, you know, similar burns from similar incidents over and over and over. A child throws an accelerant into a bonfire, kids too close to fires or whatever with flammable clothes. You know, there's a number of things. Is there a theme, first of all, for how people get burnt in adults? Like, is there a common way that people accidentally get burned?
Yeah, probably your first three are your flame burns. So people, flame burns are usually people burning rubbish, campfires, adding accelerant to get a bigger fire, or when you're burning rubbish, right, when you put accelerant, you can't see the blue flame that comes out and you're standing too close to it.
Anything that makes it, I grew up in the bush in Tassie, and my dad always called it woof juice when you put some petrol or something, because it makes the fire go woof.
I have to use that next time. And the next one is probably scald burns, and that, you know, there's hot oil from deep frying, and then you've got the elderly with the hot liquid. But, you know, scald burns probably, and then the other one is contact burn. Would be our other one. So diabetic feet with, you know, compromised sensation, walking out to the mailbox in the hot weather, and they don't know that they burn. And then it's the next day when the skin's sloughing off that then they come to us. So they're really deep burns. So the contact burns are also motorbikes. When people have an accident, the exhaust falls on them, they've got that contact there, having, you know, fainting in the middle of the road and having resuscitation, and that's burns on their back. We've had a few people, so they're probably our top three, Liz.
Yeah, okay. And in terms of, I guess, like how long is the average patient in with you? Because that's, you know, when we're thinking about burns nursing care, and I, you know, compared to lots of other wards, I imagine that your patient cohort are often with you a longer length of stay. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yes, in a way. If the, it depends on their total body surface area. If it is a small burn but deep, which is like, say, 5%, 2 to 5%, it's a small area that we're pretty good with telehealth, that, and we have a referral service which our surgeons will have a look, communicate with the site, and bring the patient when we have theatre time. So they get to stay home. But those patients tend to probably stay about, say, a week at max, and then we can telehealth in and out. The bigger burns that have to come to a referral centre, so over 10%, stay a bit longer. So you've got to think of your wound care, again, your mobility, scar management, and where are they going home to, and do they have support? So that's about a 2 week, just say. And then you've got your 40% upwards. And it's not only burns, their whole system, right, is affected. ICU to ward. And we do a lot of inpatient rehab. So we have a little gym on the ward. Our physiotherapy will step up that first and then go to the big gym. So a lot of inpatient rehab, and, you know, they can stay for a couple of months, but we've had patients where I've treated that's been there for over a year, 6 months, 8 months, and, you know, yeah, so it's treating that, but then you can see their psychosocial side. Yeah, yeah, that's really important.
I guess one of the things that we didn't ask is when you're saying a 5% burn, that's can you explain that? I'm not going to try to. What does that mean, or a 10% burn or a 30% burn?
Okay, so we the percentage of the body that has the burn injury, basically. So we use a system called the rules of nine, right? So the body split up. So your two arms, 9% each arm. Your front is 18%, your back is 18%, each leg is 18%. It's kind of around that area, and that's how it gets calculated. So when I say 5%, it's 5%, not just your sunburn, but your deep, you know, your dermal burns, 5% of your total body surface area.
Mm. So you've already alluded to the fact that this is a multidisciplinary team. So your number five is effective burns management is a multidisciplinary team effort. So can you explain to us, like, who is in that team?
Yeah, sure. So like when somebody has a large burn, even a small burn, right, it's like putting this person back together, their puzzle back together, and you need the right people to help these pieces come back together. So we've got our physiotherapists who obviously assist with the ranging, the movement, the safety of the patient going back home, getting back to their normal, you know, like I always said, movement. Occupational therapists who then goes in to help with the scar management. So at the beginning it's about splinting. Actually, let's go back. So at the beginning they'll supply us with garments to help hold the dressing, because the dressing is your medication. If it's not flushed to the skin, it doesn't work. So garments and then splinting to immobilize the skin graft, and then after that getting the right compression garments for scar management, and that's many years after they discharge from the hospital. And then you've got your dietitian who helps us with, because when you have a large burn, you actually need twice the nutrition that you actually can eat as a normal person to help your body heal. So these guys make sure that we either feed through enteral feed or their diet, that we have enough to help with that.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
Yeah.
So someone who's got a large burn has to increase their caloric intake because it takes a lot of calories to heal the skin.
Yeah, so they go into this hypermetabolism. And that's how the body reacts, is trying to cope with all of its injuries, right?
And also a lot more protein requirement for regeneration of tissue, plus there's protein loss with the serous fluid loss as well, albumin loss with that into the dressing usually leaky albumin that's coming out of the body.
So. That's so interesting.
Yeah, so all our patients are on high energy, high protein diets if they're able to tolerate that. I don't want to forget anyone, you know. Then, of course, our surgeons who, do the surgeries, nursing. And, you know, we can't forget also our AINs and our patient support officers. Our patients can't move. They can't move. So these people help us with the rolling. They help us with the bathing. They help to make sure that these people feel safe in their hands when we're lifting their limbs to bandage and to do all sorts of things.
What about psychosocially?
Yes, yeah, so we have a social worker and that's really helpful in the early discharge planning, and it's alleviating that concern about the outside. Everyone's got bills to pay. Everyone's got someone to look after. So our social worker just is amazing. And then we've also got a psychologist for the burns unit as well. And that's about getting some help to that person at the right time, especially our long stayers. They will go through a wave, and it sometimes gets to a point where it's just saying okay to be angry. It's okay. You need to get angry so then we can get on with the work.
Mm.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Do you have regular multidisciplinary team meetings then?
I've actually got one after this session. So every Friday we the whole team get together and we discuss every patient under burns. Whether they're ICU or outlied in another ward.
Yeah. It's obviously a very heavy going because it's got a large emotional component to it in terms of your nursing. Why do you find it so rewarding?
I find it rewarding because insult to the body, right? And you get the bigger burns, you get to watch how amazing our body is at healing if you give it the right aid, the right nutrition, the right substance so that it can work, you know, in itself to heal the person. And then also seeing people overcome really challenging situations, you know, people who've lost their family in a house fire but yet gets through it with no problems, and seeing them walk out and get on with their life. It's a ward where we actually most of the time get people home. And for those ones that don't survive, we know that we have that team that we've done our best. Yeah. And that's what's really great about our unit and our team.
Yeah. The burns community is I found to be quite a community.
Yeah.
Often people who have survived serious burns seem to, you know, be a supportive group to each other.
Yeah.
Do you get many burns patients coming back to you to say hello down the track?
Yes, we – and actually when you say about support, there's actually a group of patients that did start like a support group, Burns Life, who big burns patient who've healed, who've gotten on with life, and they have a website and that where people can contact them for help. But we do get people that do come back and say, hey, look at me. And I usually don't recognize them because now they've got hair, they're wearing normal clothes.
Yeah.
You know, it's really great. And I say to some patients that we discharge, please come back.
Yeah.
Like, let us know how you're going. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, too. I have found that really fascinating, even though I've worked in burns before. It's kind of an area that's always interested me and scared me a little bit. And I think you've really cast an interesting light on it. So I hope you get some recruitment out of this podcast.
Yes, I hope so.
already
Jessie,
got me coming.
Jessie, that's right. All right, so your number one was first aid and initial post-burn management. And what I heard you say is, first of all, remove the source. If people are sitting in boiling water because they've spilled a coffee, get those clothes off them. If there's a fire, don't forget, stop, drop and roll. And also, if you are assisting someone who's been burnt, please be mindful of your own hands and any chance of secondary burns for yourself.
Yeah.
Then the most important thing was to cool the burn. And the recommendation is 20 minutes under cool running water. This is cooling and helps in terms of analgesia, but it also really helps reduce the damage.
Yeah.
Your number two is burn wound management. And you were saying, like, in the immediate, it's the nerves that can really hurt. So if you are at home and you have nothing else, you're waiting for the ambulance, to gently wrap it with some cling wrap would be helpful. And to recognize that the area might swell and need some elevation. And also, you know, if you were dressing it, if you were in another hospital, to think about choosing a moisturizer, you know, something to put over it to protect it. And also for the primary dressing that is antimicrobial and something that's absorbent or something that's not going to stick to the actual burn. Your third thing is on managing pain, and that's like acutely managing the pain and then managing the pain chronically. So covering the wound in the initial thing, and to say that burn has a burning pain, yeah, but it also has a throbbing pain, and people may need, you know, analgesia for both of those things, but also often people are extremely anxious, and so don't forget to, you know, to talk to people in a soothing, compassionate, calming way.
That's right.
to stay with them, I guess, if it's an immediate burn. But if you are nursing someone with a burn, they're going to have great anxiety or concerns about movement around dressing changes, and that nurses play a really pivotal role in supporting patients around that. And your number four is summarising really a lot of what we've already talked about, and that is that burns nursing is much more than wound care. While the wound is a major part of it, there's a whole range of rehabilitation that goes for these big serious burns, and the nurse is the pivotal case manager for a big multidisciplinary team around that. And your number five is that essentially burns is a team sport.
Yeah.
There's this big multidisciplinary team with surgeons and physicians and physios, OTs, dietetics, social work, psychologists, and I guess the family as well as part of that team, and that everybody is needed in order to get this person supported and back to their activities of life as soon as we can.
Yeah, perfectly summarised.
Too, that was fantastic. We're so glad we finally got you on the podcast. And so thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me here.
The Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital Five Things Nursing Podcast acknowledges the Turrbal and Yuggera as the First Nations owners of the lands we now tread. We pay respect to their elders, laws, customs and creation spirits. We recognise that these lands have always been places of healing, teaching and learning. We also wish to acknowledge the First Nations people of the lands of our global community and encourage our listeners to seek out, listen and learn from the knowledge held in your shared space. As well as all major podcast outlets, you can find us at 5thingsnursing.podbean.com. Please also subscribe and give us a rating on your listening platform of choice. This helps others find the podcast. And finally, if you'd like to connect with Liz or myself on Twitter, we can be found at LizCrow2. And for me, it's inject_orange. We would absolutely love to hear your thoughts, ideas, or feedback. Thanks for listening to 5 Things.